This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Imagine standing there as your father points a gun at your stepbrother. He pleads for him not to shoot. Now imagine you're 911, taking the call of a scared 9-year-old who just witnessed his stepbrother being shot point blank in the face. This is what it's like within the trenches. In this episode, you will hear stories from the I Am 911 movement, a movement I started to fight the reclassification of dispatchers from clerical to protective, and bring awareness to the types of calls that 911 dispatchers answer on a daily basis. This is a live audience episode, and we're recording live in Indianapolis, Indiana at the 2018 NINA APCO conference. It was a year ago that I debuted Imagine Listening at this conference. Since then, I have done this session at numerous conferences. We have shared, we have healed, and we have grown. Now, you heard the warning at the beginning, but I must warn you again and add that if you suffer from PTSD or have suicidal tendencies, you are listening at your own risk. The stories you're about to hear are all true and come from the dispatchers who live them. While some stories have a good outcome, the majority are horrifying. This is our reality. Your worst day is our everyday. So let's start with a bang. I want you to imagine each story. Become the dispatcher who has taken each call and imagine listening.
You were 8 years old and camping with your friends and their mother. Their parents were intoxicated, but you got in the car and left to head back down to home. The car you were in rolled, struck a culvert, and you died almost instantly. We tried to do CPR with no success. I snuck into your visitation to say I'm sorry, and I tried.
When I answered the 911 call, he said they are all shot and that they are all gone. I dispatched units that way, not realizing one of the victims was my best friend, brother, and soulmate. You and two other good men from my hometown were murdered in cold blood. It wasn't until later in my shift I learned that you were a victim, my lifelong best friend gone forever. I don't remember the rest of my shift. I am 911. Anyone have a story they want to share? Or something to write down? We'll read them for you.
You called and said that your parents would be home in 30 minutes and for me to not let them find you. That you were going into the back, you're going into the backyard to shoot yourself. I tried talking to you but you said no and ended the call. I called you back over and over with no answer, until the units arrived on the scene. I think about this all the time and wonder what I could have done different. I am 911.
Anyone have a story to share? I see some people writing stories down. I took the call when you found your father unresponsive, wedged between the toilet and bathtub. I tried to offer suggestions and encouragement to help you get him out so we could attempt CPR. We were not successful, and he didn't make it. I disconnected when I heard the guys from the fire department talking to you. The very instant the receiver hit the cradle, 911 rang again. I picked it back up and took a report of a plane crash. Yours is one of two calls that have stuck with me over my years of doing this job. Hearing you try so hard to maneuver him around to get him freed up, and the exasperation when every attempt failed. We both did everything we could. I am 911.
Your estranged father shot your 9-year-old stepbrother in the face point blank. I had to ask you who did this and where he went while you sat and screamed, looking at your stepbrother's brains on the floor of the entryway. I still hear your screams. I still hear you cry. I am 911.
Anyone with a story? This is the hard part. I know. There we go. Just takes one.
I took the call when you were hanging from the steps in an apartment building and people couldn't tell whether you were alive or dead. And I begged them to try to get you down. I am 911.
Thank you. I've done this session now a few different times since I started doing it here. And someone in Iowa recently said that this session wrecked the entire room. But in the end, we healed together and we grew together. By telling these stories, you know, we're facing our demons, so to speak, and calls that we may have buried. You know, some people are, you know, I was one of them in the beginning. You know, I used to bury my calls, and I would say, no, you know, I'm good. I don't need any help, because I didn't want to look weak. And it's different now, now that I look back at it, once I finally figured it out. It was therapeutic to tell these stories. So it's good that we do this, that we share these stories and, you know, show others the difference between commercial dispatchers and the 911 professionals that all of you are. And that's what these stories are doing. And it's all over the place.
You called in the early morning. Something woke you. A gut feeling. Your husband wasn't breathing right. I now know it was a death rattle. We tried to get him on the floor for CPR, but you couldn't move him, and the bed was too high. The bed was too high for compressions. My coworker called your brother-in-law several times with no answer to come help. He lived on the next street. I nearly cried as I listened to you beg him not to leave you, that you loved him and your teenage boys needed him. While all those boys watched in the bedroom door. I distracted you and them the best I could, but I'm sorry I couldn't do more. I am 911.
You called 911 to get help for your husband, who was not breathing. We were able to get him to the ground. You said blood was everywhere. My gut told me it was a suicide. I helped you stay calm until help arrived. I later found out he left a suicide note, and you were on your way to the hospital with your son. I'm so sorry you had to come home to see your husband like this. I am 911.
It rained a lot that summer. All of the county roads were flooded. I answered your call for help as your car was filling with water and being swept away. You screamed and pleaded for me to save you. Please don't let me die. Was the last thing you said to me as I was trying to get you to break the window. 3 days later, I saw your family on the news. They were still in shock. I never got to tell them I'm sorry, and I tried. I still hear your screams at night and think about how I failed you whenever I drive by that road you were swept away on. I'm so sorry. I am 911.
I took the call Christmas Day. All I heard was screams and crying. You said why and not on your birthday. I gave CPR instructions, but didn't know if you could hear me over your screams. Sadly, he didn't make it. I tried to get help as fast as I could. I am 911.
I took the call when your husband thought you hit a deer on the interstate. When your husband came back from checking the deer hysterical, I knew something was wrong. I will never forget the screams when you both realized that you hit and killed a woman. I am 911.
You called me when you woke up and discovered your husband wasn't breathing. I talked you through CPR until the medics got on scene. We got him back long enough to get him on the helicopter. You broke my heart when you called me back at the end of the shift to thank me for helping, but that we had lost him. You're the only person that has ever called me back just to say thank you for trying. I'm so sorry it wasn't enough. I am 911.
I took the call from your neighbor when your home was taken by the tornado. No one knew your area was hit. I did all I could to get rescuers there to save you. They were too late. The family of three and the mother, 9 months pregnant, were all gone. I blame myself for a long time for not getting help to you more quickly. I'm sorry. I am 911.
I took the third-party 911 call from a girl who said her sister called her and her six-month-old wasn't breathing. She gave me the address, which was familiar. It was my cousin. I told her to call her sister back and give him 2-finger chest compressions until I got help there. EMS transported. I was hopeful. You lived for a few days, then passed away. Hardest call I ever took. I'm 911.
I got that call from your dad. From you. Daddy had jumped. Mommy wouldn't wake up. When the officer had arrived, he found you sitting with your mom with her throat cut and Daddy on the ground below the apartment. I am 911.
I listened as you found your 10-year-old hanging in the closet. I will never forget your screams and calls for help. I will never forget your other children asking if he was going to be okay. I am 911.
I got the call that something was wrong with your dad. I pinged the phone and had you look at the mail. I had medical and fire en route. It wasn't until about 4 to 5 minutes later that you told me he was shot in the head and his friend was too. I'll never forget you telling me to hide till officers got there. I kept telling you you were okay. I'll never forget that day you told me thanks before I heard you break down to the officers. I think about you every day, your precious 12-year-old. I am 911.
So we've got time for just a few more stories. And we'll be going into the next portion of this session. So if you have any, please raise your hand so we can make sure that they're read. You were home alone. You called 911 because you weren't feeling well. You were home alone with chest pains and difficulty breathing. You told me that you had just been to the doctor for a stress test. I asked if there was anyone who I could call to come be with you while we waited for the paramedics. You said that you didn't want to worry your family. You lost consciousness and dropped the phone. Your breathing was slowing and became agonal. I kept telling you that I was there for you and to stay with me. Help was coming. I didn't want you to be alone, so I kept talking to you, letting you know I was there. I listened to you take your last breaths and documented the call screen with the time you stopped breathing. I cried for you while I waited for the fire department and ambulance to arrive. When they picked up the phone, I told them it had been 4 minutes since your last breath. You were not alone. I am 911.
All we could hear on the 911 call was you arguing with the male and was possibly in a vehicle. Then your voice stopped, and the male was panicking. No GPS location, but we researched your cell number, found your boss, and your home address. Officers found you there and discovered you had been punched unconscious by your boyfriend, and he thought that he killed you. Dispatch made a difference that night. I am 911.
So this will be the last story here for this session, but if you have any that you thought of or that you were writing down or anything, please hand them to me at the end of the entire session, and I will make sure that they get turned into memes or notes and added to the photo album on the podcast page. You were drunk and wanted to drive up to where your best friend had died in the mountains a few months earlier in a freak accident. You hit a boulder on your way, got out of the car to see what you hit. When the car started to roll, as you tried to jump back in the car to stop it, you fell underneath, pinning you underneath the vehicle. Because your airbags deployed, your OnStar was activated, and they transferred you to us. The ping on the car came in over 20 miles away from where you said you were. My partner stayed on the phone with you for over 30 minutes until the call disconnected, listening to you moan in pain, trying to soothe you, while I desperately was trying to find your location and mobilize units. I finally found your cell phone number, pinged it, and got coordinates close enough that I was able to guide the helicopter to your wreckage, over 20 minutes after we lost contact. When ground personnel finally reached you, you were unconscious. They thought for a while they were going to have to amputate your leg, but miraculously, you made a full recovery. I see you occasionally driving, or pass by in the grocery store, and just smile and nod. You have no idea. I am 911.
I got the call that you couldn't find your 2-year-old son. I got an entire description of him. Then you and your husband found him, laying face down in the creek behind your home. I gave you CPR instructions, and your husband performed them. I heard every compression given, every breath given. I listened to you beg him to breathe. I had you run to the house to let help know where he was. He didn't make it. At that time, my daughter was his age. I still cry when I think of you. I am 911.
Thank you very much to all of you who shared your stories. And if you have any other stories at any time, you can email them to wttpodcast@gmail.com, or you can go to Facebook. It's facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast, and we will add those stories on there. Again, Imagine Listening has become popular, even though it's, you know, rather stressful, you know, doing this. But it's also therapeutic because we're all here together. And we're learning from each other. And, you know, we don't always get that closure that we want. And in this way, in sharing these stories, in one way or another, we are getting some sort of closure and healing. So thank you very, very much. If I could get a round of applause for everyone who shared their stories.